course, and welcome to each and every one. This morning is a great day to be in the Lord's house. It's always, a good day to be in the Lord's house, and always good to be with people who love the Lord. And we're so glad that you're here and to be a part of our service this morning. We have kind of a double, how can I say that? We're here to honor, naturally to honor God. That's our first thing that we're here for. We're also here because of a special day, because of a day that is set aside to honor mothers. And we're so thankful, mothers, and we welcome you this morning. And I want to share with you here from Psalm 31, recording of the lineal mother. It reads like this. Who could find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband's up. Doth satisfy trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She raises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. Consider a field and buyeth with her, with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth herself with lines and strengthen her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth forth her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of texture, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, where he sitteth among the elders. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants, strength and honor. Are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not of the bread of the idleness. Arise, and call her blessed, and he perish not, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtues, but thou exaltest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Amen. For him, Lord, we worship at home, you're never too late. Sing the first and the last verse, and then you'll have the prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to have this time to come together,
to have the freedom, Heavenly Father, in this nation that we live in, that's been blessed by you, Almighty God, that we can come together and express our faith in our wonderful God and the great Savior in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come together as people of the Lord, and we come together to encourage one another in our ways of in your ways. So Heavenly Father, just now we ask that you would bless our service, bless each one present, we pray, Heavenly Father. Help us, Heavenly Father, and to receive from your hand of love. Help us to feel your presence. Help us to feel the warmth of your love around us, Heavenly Father. Then, Heavenly Father, we ask that you look into our lives this morning, each individual one life that is here this morning, that you would look into their lives, Heavenly Father, and if there's direction needed, if there's comfort needed, if there's a need in their life, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would, through thy Holy Spirit, meet that need, that you would give us direction and encouragement and help us, Heavenly Father, to be equipped to go forth in this future week, Heavenly Father, to live victorious in Christ Jesus. Thanking you for the provisions of this last week and of providing for us so well. And we come this morning just to praise and honor you, dear God. In the name of Jesus, we want to say thank you for loving us and saving us. Amen.
After communion, hymn's going to be using 330, singing the first and last verse. 330.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are you marvelous, spotless, hardly whiteness? Washed in the blood of the Lamb, there's a fountain flowing through the soul unclean. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless, holy, white as snow?
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink in union with you in the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this day to be back in our house and get around. Especially thankful for this cup and this love. Through him, through your Son Jesus, we have life and have everlasting. We pray that you be with us through this service this morning. We ask for forgiveness when we fail thee. Be as many as he brings the morning's message. These words we ask in thy name.
Amen. Father, we thank you for all the blessings we receive as we bring a portion of these gifts back to our tithes and offerings. We ask that you multiply them. Father, your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name.
This time we're going to have a poem from Sierra. She wrote a poem for Mother's Day, a special poem for you mothers, to share that with you. We're very proud of Sierra. She's out of school this year, but in December she will be graduating from college and going into the work today. So we thank you. Give her a good hand.
God gives us many blessings every day, like protection, food, and even telling us what to say. However, one blessing we may overlook, besides his love, Jesus, and his holy book, is the one woman who helps us make us who we are, our lovely mothers who help us become stars. We all have at least one, but some have more. Most mothers love, adore, and some even snore. However, there's one thing we can all agree. God blesses us with his love and unfailing mercy. So count your blessings, name them one by one, and see what God has truly done. But don't forget your mother this Mother's Day, because God blesses us in more than one way. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Sierra. Where's Lulibel? Lulibel back there. Yeah, all right. Lulibel has a birthday, and this is the day of her birthday, so we get to sing to her. Everybody that has a birthday on the Lord's Day, we sing, Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lulibel. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Also this week, Samantha will be having a birthday, growing up to be quite a young lady there. No Bible study tonight, because some of the people are going to be gathered with family, and so we appreciate that, so we will be dismissing Bible study this evening. What else is taking place? Okay. As we turn to our prayer list, we have a number of things to consider. We have some folks absent from us this morning because of various things that happened in their life. And Wayne and Fanny, who is so faithful back here, and they come from Lexington every Lord's Day and just here all the time that they can be. Wayne fell in the bathtub. Fanny was trying to get him out, and she fell. And so they called then for the nephew, I think, or to come and help them. And so let's be much in prayer for them as they are strengthened and brought back to be able to be back with us. Virginia's not here this morning. She's got the allergy things. And Virgil's here, and he's been having the allergy things, but he's kind of over them, so we're glad of that. Who else is absent from us this morning? I'm missing here. We just hope that all things will go well for them. We look on our prayer list, and we've asked before that you would share with us and update us on what's going on. So we ask you to keep this list before you and pray for their needs of those. I also have a special need this morning. Willie Heron, who is near death. And so many of you know who that is. So we ask you to pray for them, that family, which is always in need when people are passing away. It leaves a void in their family's life. And so we know the Holy Spirit does well filling that void for people like that. Our service people certainly care for them, and especially days like today we've mentioned before, holidays, and especially I can visualize, I'm not there, and I can visualize the many young men and women and that are on foreign soil, and they're thinking about this is Mother's Day, and we're celebrating Mother's Day back here, how they would long to be with Mom today. And so pray for them, the Holy Spirit, comfort them and give them assurance. Bring them home safely. For the nation leaders, we've mentioned week after week after week, because America's been so blessed. And it depends upon our leaders as to how God can bless us. And you say that, well, how can the leaders have control over God? I'm not saying they control God. They control circumstances for people. And sometimes it's a hindrance to what God can do for us, and that's the way he works. And so we just pray that everyone would look to God and strive to do what is right and proper in the sight of God, especially for the leaders of our nation and those in high places that has the ability, has control to do those things which are right in sight, right and good in the sight of God for God's people. And so pray that God will use them in a great way. Those in the care homes, nurse home, can't be out and be You know, I think about them today as I've noticed in the nursing homes when they're there. And so there's many mothers laying in the nursing home this morning who would just love to be home and be able to gather with the family. And then there's many mothers in the nursing home this morning that won't be visited by their children, that be left there just kind of alone. So pray God's peace and comfort upon them. Pray for those who are taking care of them, that they will do that in a kind and compassionate way. For this church, we want to ask you to pray for one another. We do that constantly. You need to look around and see who's here and see who's absent. And we don't know all the needs of each and every one that's here this morning, but we know there's not a person here that doesn't have a need of some kind or another. And we all have a need for God's wonderful love and blessing upon our life. So pray one for another. And the scripture teaches us that we should pray one for another. Be concerned about our fellow men. Be concerned about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we pray and strengthen one another, encourage one another, that'll be an encouragement to the community and it'll be a great help to society, period. So let's do that. Other things that we may have overlooked, if I have, well, please share. Just raise your hand. I'll give you an opportunity to share any thoughts. Otherwise, as we come to our prayer time, we have so much to be thankful. We have a great God. We have a wonderful Savior. We have so much going for us that we should be thankful every day. And certainly, God has blessed us in a great and wonderful way.
For our prayer hymn this morning, we're using hymn number 19. Sing all verses, and I'll have the prayer. Just hold it. The opportunity we have to come here to sing songs of praise, hear thy word proclaimed. Be with the ones on the prayer list here at the church, comfort and restore them back to their normal health again. Be with the teachings of angels that they'll take the message of the hour and take pride to their heart. Go with us now, guard, direct us, and save us in the ends. Our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dad.
Invitation. presentation, MB 366. Now this time, the choir wing special.
Kathleen and choir, very powerful. On to victory. That's where we're headed. Victory in Christ. Amen. Debbie, is this a surprise, or did you know that your son was coming today? You just came to surprise you? Well, we're so glad to have you. Been a while since we've seen him. We're so glad to have you. So glad to see all you folks and just welcome you. All right. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1. This has been Mother's Day. Well, kind of, as I've said before, I always hate, kind of dread getting a message for Mother's Day because of the circumstances and so forth. And some people don't have good godly mothers, and that's sad. And sometimes but as I know of this congregation, most I know of, most everybody I know of has had a good mother. I hope that everybody has. But I want to talk to you a little bit about mothership. You know, this being Mother's Day, it's really sanctioned in the Bible because Exodus 12, 20 and 12 says, you know, honor thy mother, thy father and thy mother, that your days might be long, you know. So the admonition to young people, yeah, you ought to honor mom and dad, and you know, and hopefully they lead you in the right way, because it has a lot to do with how your life goes in this life. And certainly if they're godly people, it'll have a lot to do with what's going to happen after this life. And so mothers are very important, very, very important. And Christian mothers are really the greatest assets we have in this nation, really. Someone has said that the way the mother goes, the way the nation goes, you know, and so forth. But that's true, because they have a tremendous influence on, mothers has a tremendous influence on what takes place in the communities and so forth. And it doesn't short men at all, but mothers has a very special place in God's plan for them. So In 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to read the first five verses here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved son. This is his, just like an adopted son here. It's one that he never had and one that he cherished for. And Timothy, I can visualize, and some of you fellows have had young people that played a great part in your life that just seems to be such a part of you. And Paul looked at Timothy that way. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of the tears that I have, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfrayed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Paul had it's a possibility that Eunice and Lois had met Paul. I kind of get a feel that they, on his first missionary journey, he might have met them. But regardless of what it is, here Paul is writing to this young man who has been tremendously impacted by his grandmother and his mother. Today, as I look around, I see, you know, grandmothers, when do they have a grandmother's day? They ought to have a grandmother's day. Grandmothers has a tremendous impact on young people. Because the way we're living today, it seems like oftentimes grandmothers become beneficiaries of grandchildren. And they play a tremendous part in young people's lives, simply because of the workaday life and then simply because of the lifestyles of some people. So, we have a grandmother and we have a mother that has a tremendous impact on this young man. And such an impact on him that the Apostle Paul saw in him the faith and wanted him to be a part of his ministry. And just like Elijah and Elisha, that he wanted his Elijah's mantle. And Paul here wants to put his so-called mantle on this young man, Timothy, because he has been brought up in such a wonderful way and is so such an asset to God's kingdom. And it all goes back to grandma and mother, Eunice. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mothers has a tremendous responsibility, has a great opportunity to work with the children. They have the first and best opportunity to lead their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy became a very valuable co-worker of the Apostle Paul in spreading the wonderful gospel of the salvation of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this passage here, it speaks of grandmother Lois, and the mother Eunice and Timothy. Doesn't say anything about his father. His father, Luke tells us and records in the book of Luke, that his father was a Greek. Now, so we know that Greeks were heathen worshipers, pagan worshipers. When I say heathen, they just didn't know what they were doing when they were worshiping these pagan gods. And so we can conclude there from his father in two things. Either his father is still living at this time, which we don't know, and he's still then pertaining to the heathen religion, or else he has very possibly, and I like to think this, that he has very possibly come to understand and believed in the Lord and has died. So either one of those things, one or the other of those things takes place here with the father, and that's why he's not mentioned here. But the scripture tells us here that Timothy's mother Eunice was a Jewish lady, and so And Luke says she believed. Now, Lois, I don't get the feeling that Lois knew too much about Jesus per se. She knew the Old Testament and so forth, and she lived with the expectation of the Messiah coming. I kind of think possibly, as I study this, that Lois probably was well-versed and probably had a little time with Timothy, along with the mother, to teach Timothy in the ways of God, but she probably only knew and understood that there was one coming. There would be a Messiah that would come. Now, I think possibly then Eunice then lived after Jesus was born naturally. I don't know that Eunice had seen Jesus. I can't say that, and probably not. Probably what she knows about Jesus was taught to her probably through the Apostle Paul. Probably Lois then taught Eunice about the one that would come. So as I study it, I see Eunice has been a great teaching to her daughter and to her grandson, but she has not then lived at a time after Jesus has come, and she has maybe passed on. And then that left it up to Eunice. But she had that opportunity. Then she was so versed in the Old Testament, that was a great asset to Timothy, because I can see what time that Lois was with Timothy, she really probably instilled in him the things of the Old Testament, the promises and the prophecies of the Messiah coming. And then by Eunice then knowing that the Messiah had come and now we believe on him, she then infiltrated that, so to speak, into Timothy. So you can see Timothy as a young man who has been trained by his grandmother and mother. You can see then what a tremendous asset he was to the Apostle Paul in spreading this glorious gospel that you and I now have been told about and shared with. And so it goes back, clear back to that. But I just want to look at a couple of things here about this grandmother and mother that tells us something about him and about them. And as I look in this passage here, and verse 5 is where I get most of what I want to talk about to you or share with you, or give you some thoughts, is this, that the greatest thing, and I think Timothy was probably stood this, I can see him as he testified to his mother and his grandmother as what they had done for him. And I have to say this morning, I want to say this morning, that I believe the greatest thing that could be said about a mother is that she believed. It says that Eunice believed. Believed what? She believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. She believed what Lois believed was going to happen. And Eunice saw that and believed in that. So the greatest thing that could be said of any mother is that she believed. She was a Christian. She believed in Almighty God and believed in the Son, Jesus Christ. That she loved the Lord and wanted the blessings of Almighty God, not only for herself, but for her children. For her children. Mothers, the greatest thing that you could do is to instill in your children the good graces of the Almighty God, that they might seek and serve Him. I'm afraid today that there's a lack of the teaching of the young people at home. I think that they're missing. I think mothers and even fathers are missing a great opportunity to share the wonderful things of God with the young people. But it seems like there was a thing back some years back that went through, you know, who was it, the Dr. Smock that kind of did this, you know, that said, you know, just let your kids adventure in these things. Let them examine for themselves and let them. And you used to hear a lot of people say, well, yeah, I'm just going to let my children grow up, and when they get of age, they can decide yourself what to do, and if they want to go to church, and if they want to serve the Lord, and so forth. That's certainly not what the Scripture says. Because the Scripture strictly says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. It also says, as we begin with, you know, it's very good teaching, you know, that if a child will honor his parents, honor his mother, and so forth, and listen to what they had to say, like Timothy did here. And Timothy, I don't know what age Timothy died. I don't know that he died a martyr. I don't know he died a natural death. I don't know that. The Scripture don't tell us. It just tells us about this wonderful thing about this young man and what he did for God and what the grandma and grandmother did for the young man to help him along in his life. But nevertheless, tremendous thing, a training young people. So the it says this unfeigned faith. He says here, he says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Genuine faith would be another way, and probably some of your translations reads that. And this unfeigned faith was first in your mother, in your grandmother, Lois, he says, and in thy mother, Eunice. So this really tells us about them and their faith, doesn't it? This unfeigned, this genuine, it's real. And mothers, if you have faith, it ought to be real. Real faith. Another way of looking at that unfrained, it means non-hypocritical. It's not put on. It's genuine. I say in a kind way, but you know, there's a lot of people, men and women alike, that put on godliness or Christianity, holiness. They want people to think they are, but they're really not. They're really not. I say that with kindness, but you know, I always face the truth too. And that's the truth. And I want to say, you know, young people, children, they catch on to that pretty fast. And I can say to moms, if you're not real, your children know it's pretty easy. Don't try to fool yourself. Don't tell them, you know, you do as I say and not as I do. That's an old thing that used to be, you know. No, if you're not it, just don't live it. You know, I think it would be better for a mother or a father to not have principles. If they didn't have the principles of God right, if they didn't live them, it would be better for them not to try to say they possess them than to try to be hypocritical about it. Listen, there is no reason whatsoever in this life that we're living now, blessed of Almighty God, there is no reason for a mother not to be genuine. There's really no reason for a mother not to be a genuine Christian mother. Every mother ought to realize more than what most do, some do. When she looks at that child, she knows there's something mightier than man. And she knows there's somebody, a great creator, that created all this and give this blessed child. And she ought to look to him to raise that child in a godly way. Genuine faith is what we need today. I don't know, some time back when Facebook got coming on, and there was a time that I looked on there a little bit, and I don't care what fool with that anymore. I know there's a lot of good things on there, but there's a bunch of junk on there too. But I noticed on there before, and a lot of people who I knew personally, and some of them in my family, and they would make statements or they would put things on there that seems to be so godly. And they would say things that if you didn't know them, you would think they're the top Christian. And not to be a judge, but just knowing the facts of truth, they were hypocritical. They weren't what they said they were to be. And if we're not what we say we are, We're just fooling ourselves. Our sons and daughters knows and can see the difference. So mothers, I say, if you claim to be a Christian, be a Christian. Be a Christian. Live it. Do it. Exemplify it. Lois and Eunice started teaching Timothy early in life. I believe that from what the scripture says there. Paul reminds Timothy that in his childhood, if you look on over a little farther here and you'll see, Paul says that, I know in your childhood, from your childhood you have known. And what he's saying, grandma and mother taught you from early age. Lois and Eunice began teaching Timothy not long after he was born. This word childhood here speaks of it, and Paul does in 3:15, I believe it is. He makes a statement that, you know, from your childhood you have known this faith that first was in your grandmother, then in your mother, and now I am persuaded is in you also. He knew that from a childhood. I can remember my mother. I don't remember when I was that small, because we probably don't remember those things, but I remember my mother rocking some of my younger brothers and sisters. And when she did, and she was just, as I've told you about my mother several times, and she just didn't have, and it's kind of a shame that men doesn't make it possible. My mother didn't have the opportunity that we have today of, and having the vehicles and so forth, and be able to go to church and so forth, because my father had great demands on my mother. And my father would work, and he worked on the farm and so forth, and my mother had to have dinner on the table at noontime and all that stuff and so forth. But I remember this. My mother used to sing to my brothers and sisters when she was cradling them and nursing them in a very early age. And I can remember hearing my mother singing and humming hymns, and that talked about God and talked about Jesus. And I visualize here when Paul talks about Timothy being from a childhood, because there is a word there that's a brepho, I think it is, B-R-E-P-H-O-E, something like frepho. That means from a newborn baby, from the embryo. It is used in some places as an embryo, and it also is used from a newborn babe. And so I visualize here Eunice and Lois rocking Timothy and singing those great old hymns of the Psalms that David had written about Almighty God and about the wonderful Savior that was to come and such. So mothers has the foremost and the first opportunity to instill. And I'm convinced that even in childhood, when you say those things over and over and over to your child, very young age, you are instilling in them those things. They won't forget them. They won't forget them. I remember a lot of things my mother told me when I was just a lad, little lad. I can remember my mother. I can remember sitting at the table, kitchen table, and my mother talking to me. And I can remember some of the things that she told me and so forth. And so she had told me so many times different things of that nature. And I'm convinced whatever you instill in your children, it will stay with them. And you ought to do it in such a way that it will be planted there for eternity. And that would be the things of God. That's what Lois and Eunice did here. From a childhood, thou hast known. And what Paul's saying, thou have known the right way to go. How does Timothy know the right way to go? He says, because at first it was in your grandmother, and then in your mother, and now in you. And so I see Lois and Eunice, they were the real thing. They were the real thing. There was nothing hypocritical about them. They were genuine. They were genuine. And it came up, it showed forth in grandson's son, Timothy, in a wonderful way. The prayers, the witness, the faith of his godly grandmother and mother were the key factors in the spiritual development of Timothy. Mothers, your children ought to hear you pray. They ought to hear you pray to Almighty God and pray blessings upon your children. I've kind of studied this blessing thing a little bit more, and I talked about last week and Jabez and so forth, and it stirred my mind a little bit more. And I think that we ought to pray blessings over our people, over our children especially. When you send that child off to school tomorrow, pray a blessing on it. Pray a blessing on it. When that child is going back to college or whatever it might be, pray a blessing over them. I got a little better understanding right now than I used to have about blessings. I used to think that maybe we prayed a different way. But no, you know, I think about Jacob when he was down in Egypt. And he asked for his grandsons to be brought. And they brought the two grandsons. And Jacob laid his hands on them and blessed them. And Mom, Dad, you ought to lay your hands, touch them, lay your hands on them. I like the fact, you know, that the scripture says, you know, if anybody's sick among you and so forth, call for the elders, lay hands on you and so forth. There's something about that. There's something about it. So, yeah, Mom, instead of just letting them run out the door, and as they run out, bless you, have a blessed day. Take time. Oh, wait a minute. Come here. I want to bless you. Put your hand on that child and say, God bless this child with safety. Bless this child, fill them with knowledge, whatever they're going to do. Take that time to do that. Instill in it. Pray for them. Let them hear you pray. I'm convinced that there's many mothers. I can remember, again, my mother, and I wish I could say more, but I'm so glad that I did hear her pray the prayers she did pray. But I didn't hear my mother every day pray, and probably she did, and maybe she did. I don't know. I hope she did. But I felt, and I feel now, that mothers do not pray before their children as they ought to. I wonder tomorrow how many children will go off and just say, you behave yourself now. No. Why not say, come here, I want to bless you. The Lord will help you and guide you, and I know you're going to behave yourself. You know, it's such a different one. So pray blessings upon those children. And I believe that possibly took place here with this. So as I close, this is what I want to say. Godly children do not automatically raise up to what it ought to be. Godly children have to be instructed. Godly children have to be instructed. And I throw that big burden upon mothers because it's Mother's Day, and I'm so thankful we have mothers to do that. But I burden you that with that, mothers, in the early ages or whatever, in your child, instruct them. Early instructions to the children. And young mothers, and some here will be one day young mothers, take that child and cradle them and rock to them, sing to them, oh blessed Savior, all those wonderful good things. When they can't understand anything else, bless them with them good old hymns that will strengthen them. Early instructions. And then secondly is this. Plain instructions. Plain instructions. You understand what I'm saying there? Because, you know, I feel like that there's a lot of young people that doesn't get a good understanding. it's not been made plain to them. Instruct them early. And maybe sometimes you might have to say, come here, Jimmy, and sit down. I want to talk to you. I want to tell you what God has in store for you. I want to tell you that God has a wonderful plan for your life. And I want to share with you about it. You know, sometimes you have to not only instruct them early, but plainly instruct them in what God would have them to do. And then this, the last one is this. Frequently, over and over and over and over, day after day, instill in that person, in that young person. Oh, how I would that every young person in high school, every young person that's in college today, if every one of them had instilled in their life from a good godly mother the principles that the Lord has set out for us, we wouldn't get these terrible news alerts of gunned down children, children dying on dope and drugs and all those type of things. I have to say, kindly, train them in the way they should go. May God bless them and bless you as you do. Stand for the invitation again. We're talking to mothers and encouraging mothers. And probably the fact that good mothers are a little hard, but mothers have a great responsibility. As you all really think that mothers have a blessing.
Angela, I bet. And the mother with the most children here would also be Angela.
One per person. Those folks are here every Saturday morning in this church. Hey, John. What'd you say?
I said not every Saturday morning.
Well, somebody sneaks in and then. Hey, John Kim. Keith gets caught.
I'll take Keith, okay?
You'll take Keith?
Yeah, I'll just.
Bergen, for being a trustee, he got one too, but since he's not here, we've got to give Kathleen Singh spend it for
him. I can handle that.
Virgil. Virgil's here every morning fussing about the temperature in the church. Jerry, that's camera signing for us. And Frank. We got Frank. You get the chicken every time I call you, we have a dinner.
The chicken thing. That's not fair.
Got one left? Maxine gets one just for being Maxine.
Show our appreciation and our mother.